Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
Report. When it entered impulse engine number 2's vent, it attacked 2 crewmen, then got into the ventilating system, and now we have air for only 2 hours.
Bones.
One man has a chance for survival. The other is dead. You can add that little price tag to your monster, huh?
That's enough, Bones.
It's not enough. You didn't care what happened as long as you could hang your trophy on the wall. Well, it's not on it, Captain. It's in it.
Gentlemen, I suggest we no longer belabor the question of whether or not we should have gone after the creature. The matter has been rendered academic. The creature is now after us.
Creature, Mr. Spock.
It turned and attacked, Doctor. Its method was well considered and intelligent.
What is it? 183? Episode 183.
Are we at 183?
Yes. Let's say we're starting and by announcing the number 183.
183.
Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
As opposed to 138.
It's, yes.
That's true.
We are 138.
183.
Good point. That's a solid point.
Yes. Very solid point.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
I think I welcomed everyone to the podcast. We said the number of the podcast.
Colloquially expressed, but essentially correct.
That's my favorite line in the whole episode.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's awesome.
The episode that we will be...
Somebody invented that awesome sentence.
Yes. The episode we will be discussing this week, which you already know because you clicked on the podcast and it's in the title. Mm. But that episode name is Obsession from the original series, Star Trek.
Yes, sir.
The original series... Season 2, episode 13. And I'm not going to get into the whole debate.
No.
About what episode, because there's like the in Memory Alpha, it says it's episode 18.
No.
But like, yeah.
We're calling it.
Yeah.
Is it say, does it say, I thought I read Memory Alpha saying it, or no, I thought I read somewhere saying it was episode 18. And then I was like, I opened up Paramount Plus, I was like 13. And then I relooked on the internet and I saw 13. But
yeah.
But I guess the first one I saw was, are you sure it was 18 and
on,
not just.
On Paramount Plus, it's 13. Because, on Wikipedia, it's 13.
Because it's 13 everywhere except Memory Alpha.
Okay. Okay. And you're sure that it wasn't like a 3 that got morphed into an 8 because of the font or something? Well,
it's funny because I started this by saying, I don't want to get into this. Okay. I don't want to get into this. But okay.
We got there.
It's okay because it's Star Trek. So it's okay. We can get into it.
We got Star Trek.
Okay, I don't know exactly the reason. I forget. I didn't have time to look into it, but I know there are sometimes discrepancies with Memory Alpha. Sometimes Memory Alpha goes with production order as opposed to airing order, and or vice versa, or whatever. I don't know. I'm fine with just going with what most everybody else says, which is episode 13. Especially,
I know you would prefer to wallow in a pool of emotion.
Yes, because most people are going to be watching it probably on Paramount Plus or Amazon or something like that. So yes, season 2, episode 13. This is always an issue when it comes to discussing TOS and the confusion of some of the episodes.
I believe we have enough of that.
Yes, thank you, Dan. You've given me permission to stop that. Okay, but yes, and this week we selected this episode not from suggestions from users. And not from suggestions from our own brains, but rather by using Dan's algorithm. And Dan's bespoke algorithm.
Bespoke.
My algorithm has been modified slightly. It's more about what words it filters than the fundamental formula is the same, but the way it filters words is slightly different.
What Dan's
and it's
saying
better
is,
now.
He's been tweaking it.
I've been tweaking it.
Which may explain why, for the first time in a long time, the algorithm did not in fact suggest that we do Deep Space Nine's past tense.
It did not.
Oh, for real?
Which we've already done. We did that in episode 28 of the podcast. Literally years ago.
Yeah, no, it's totally like a joke now.
Yeah, but the podcast. But the podcast selection topic selection algorithm,
like somebody made like a graphic of like some kind of, what was that thing where like it was like somebody was sneaking up on somebody else and it was like
right.
It was an It's Got Star Trek fan meme.
Yeah,
I think it was Unplanned Trek fellas did
yeah
it.
Hey, there you go.
But yes, so and the algorithm and the algorithm did not suggest that.
And it also suggests
This
might be an and for me, but what were you going to say?
And but I think we're on the same wavelength here, and we are 100% in support.
But. And a butt.
So what it did suggest, is that we watched the Jihad or the Pirates of Orion.
And that's what we did.
Which is what we did last week. Which is what we fed into the algorithm. So Dan indicates and argues strongly that this is merely shows that the algorithm is working properly.
Right, because it's matching the most words with the episode that we just watched. See what I'm saying? Like, it's making, because it goes based upon, like, what we say, and what we're talking about is going to be, it's going to spit back the thing we were talking about as the most,
need to tweak it a little bit.
Well, I don't need, what I could do is I could just simply say, don't include the last episode in your printout, but it gives me a list, it lists them all in most likely to least likely that we should watch. And so I just picked the second or third one, if that's the case. So for an example, since we did two episodes, it picked both of those episodes. So I just went to the third one, which was Obsession. Right. There is one more interesting bit that I didn't realize until I was watching this episode. Dig this line from this episode.
All right, we're going to dig it.
This is Kirk saying, "Don't misunderstand my next question. Mr. Spock, why aren't you dead?" And McCoy goes, "It's that green blood of his."
Yeah.
Spock goes, "My hemoglobin is based on copper, not iron."
Hemoglobinopathy.
Wait. My blood...
Yeah. Okay, now we got
it. Hemoglobin is based on copper, not iron.
Yeah.
Which was discussed in the previous.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. Yes. This is McCoy's.
Yeah, we get it.
In the Pirates of Orion.
He's always quick to point that out.
Let me just finish my thought here. Thank you. The Pirates of Orion. McCoy says, "I've triple checked, Jim. I wish to God I was wrong. Spock's blood is copper based. The infection enters the bloodstream and encases the cell, so they can't carry oxygen." And at the end of that episode, McCoy's all like, "Admit it, Scott. Your green blood got you into trouble. I finally got you. Your blood is different than mine and makes you bad, you know." But he mentions the green blood and he mentions the copper-based blood in both Pirates of Orion and in this episode.
More to the point, we mentioned it in the podcast.
We did.
And so the point being,
because particularly offensive for
the folks who aren't aware, the way the algorithm works, insofar as Jesse and I are aware, because Dan has held some of the trade secrets close to his
business. Bullshit. We go over this every week, and every week I said
Dan's always keeping his secrets.
Go a few episodes back, and you'll find
keep your secrets.
Go back several
episodes. Gandalf.
Go back several episodes, and you'll find that I reveal all secrets about my algorithm.
The long.
I just don't say it anymore because it's tedious to say it over and over again. I remember you guys didn't want. You guys weren't even interested in listening. You kept interrupting me the whole time, and now after you interrupt me,
I don't know what you're talking.
No. Hear me out. I was explaining something. You guys wouldn't shut up, and then now you're like, "You didn't explain that thing." It's like I did explain that thing. You just wouldn't shut up.
Yes. Well, as I was saying. Yes, Dan doesn't tell us everything, but what we do know is that Dan takes the previous week's podcast file and converts it into data that can be slurped up by the algorithm, which is then compared to all the scripts, most of the scripts in the Star Trek franchise, and somehow comes up with this list of episodes.
And so
it's worked very well for us so far.
And so what I was just trying to say is that the fact they mentioned green blood and copper-based blood in last episode and this episode, that means that that's more reinforcement that my tweaking is working better now.
Yes.
100% agree. Okay, so that is why we're discussing this episode.
It's called Obsession.
This week. Okay, but we will get to that shortly. A couple of minutes, administrative things. One administrative thing. Oh, I just wanted to read a review that we got.
When did we get a review?
We get reviews all the time. I usually don't bring them up because they're not
helpful.
They normally they're just nice, pleasant 4 or 5 star reviews.
I don't think we've gotten that many reviews.
I'll just look it up. We can go on iTunes and look. There's plenty of reviews on there. But my point is we can always use more. And one reason is because we got this review that's titled, "It's Just Awful, Sorry.
Oh, wow.
Look, not everyone should have a podcast. Here's an example. Tuned in for the Picard finale, and man, was this a terrible listen. It's one thing to have multiple people yelling at each other. yelling over each other to get their bad jokes out. But this goes a step above by blasting a terrible kazoo noise directly into your ears for comedic effect. I guess it's not just bad. It literally hurts to listen to. Avoid like the Borg. One star. One star reviews. Who cares? What are you going to do? We're not for everybody. I only bring it up because I was aggravated by an inaccuracy in the review. And the inaccuracy is that we do, it's a goofy podcast. We're just trying to have a little fun here, a little blue humor, whatever. But we have a certain level of sophistication, right?
What is this kazoo noise he's talking
about? We're not going to play with a kazoo. We were using a stylophone. Mm-hmm. It was a stylophone. And not only was it this, stylophone, right? We made a big deal.
I dare you to make a
kazoo. We made a big deal about how it was a stylophone. So how is this guy listening? I'm presuming.
Although he makes a good point about us yelling over top of each other.
What are you talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think there could be a little less yelling over top of each other.
A little less stylophone, which I agree. I can think the stylophone can definitely be annoying.
Well.
I think that part of the reason we yell.
Let's get it right.
See, there's a thing that people can't see us, so they depend on their ears. And when they depend on their ears, they can't tell who's talking if everyone's talking at once. If you see someone, it's still hard to tell, but it's easier to tell if you can look at them. They can't see us.
It's another level of listening.
See, it's happening right now. It's happening right now. I'm not done with my point yet. That's what I'm trying to say. No,
I'm listening.
It's not just you. It's it's all of us.
It's a culture.
Now Patrick's doing it and thinks it's very clever, but it's a good point.
I think it's clearly aggravating.
But it's a solid point. That I complain about it all the time, where it's like I can't get a full thought out because I'm always being interrupted. Therefore, I start yelling just to finish my point. I start talking at a million miles an hour because I know if I talk for too long, I will get
interrupted. Talk faster.
See, and you're fucking doing it again. You're just doing it right now.
I thought I was trying to join in the conversation.
That's the problem. We need to bounce off each other better.
How is there a set time limit?
You just sort of wait till someone's done talking, and sometimes it's okay to interrupt, but it gets a little fucking out of control at times.
Well, we of course, and that's why we focus on being a chill podcast.
We need to recognize that we have room to grow, and that
room to grow.
That's fine.
We're going to share the podcast space with each other.
That's fine, as long as we pay attention to it and act upon it.
Yes, I'm gonna wait for you to say everything you have to say before I say what I have to say.
I just want to reinforce that it's okay to interrupt each other from time to time. I just think we maybe get a little carried away with ourselves.
Can you give a thumbs up when it's
I've made my point.
Your point is valid. I'm laughing because it's also funny.
Yeah. No.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
We should blow a whistle.
But so we do encourage reviews on whatever service you use. Please, if you have a couple moments, it would be great if you give us a review. It's fine to give us a one-star review, but please, a certain level of accurateness.
But there's so many more stars you could give us.
People yelling over each other, accurate. Bad jokes, accurate. Avoid like the Borg, stupid.
No.
Yeah.
But
the Borg are way worse.
It wasn't a fucking kazoo. I mean,
it was not.
The whole gag was, of course, intended to be purposefully aggravating to the audience.
It's not a kazoo.
That was.
It's not a kazoo.
That's what Jesse does when he's bored.
Yeah.
It was as early as 10 minutes into the show this week. But yes, we were, of course, I was trying to be purposely aggravating for the purpose of humor. But I made a point about it being a stylophone because a stylophone is a hilarious instrument.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. It's unusual enough. To be humorous with but being familiar enough that you say stylophone and people will be like, oh, okay, I kind of can figure out
sousaphone?
What you're talking about there.
It's
not a fucking kazoo. All right.
Well, no, and I agree with you, and which makes me think that they didn't listen to the whole thing.
They didn't listen.
And one star review, I mean, I mean, okay, like,
and tuning in, it's like I'm going to tune into the last episode.
What we know about right. User reviews is in terms of stars, it's like 5 stars or 1 star.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw a review on Amazon the other day. They were like, I admit, I bought too much. It was too large for what I needed. I should have looked at it. It was my fault. They literally gave it 3 stars, 3 out of 5. They're like, it's perfectly great. It's just too much for me, and it told me the amount. Totally my fault, and it works great. 3 stars. It's like, why are you getting 3 stars? Because you didn't get what you wanted. You know, you have some agency in this situation. If you like didn't get what you wanted because they didn't read your mind, that is not worth taking off 2 stars for.
This listener only listened to that episode, and that was the first episode they listened to.
Yeah, they didn't listen to the whole episode.
You know what? Also,
we stopped playing with the kazoo.
You know? Like, yeah, right.
We totally stopped playing with the kazoo.
I find it just suspicious that somebody would just pop in.
Maybe they hate us.
Like, apparently. It seems like maybe they listened to us for a few episodes, and then we busted out the stylophone, and they were like, fuck that.
But then it worked exactly as planned. we try to shoo away the riffraff. That's what our ad says. It says the It's Got Star Trek podcast. No riffraff.
I saw a 1-star review on Amazon. Sorry, I'm back to this again.
Right.
But
previously was about a 3-star review.
Now this
by the way, my experience and understanding from reading podcast articles is that the quickest way to a 5-star podcast rating is for the hosts to not get into the topic of discussion. Well, for a long time.
Well, but this will be my last point. All right. So this 1-star review, this product was getting 1-star reviews because it had a twist top thing, and the twist top thing, no one could figure out how to turn it off. Like, it got mostly 5-star reviews, but people were giving it 1-star because they couldn't figure out how the twist off thing worked. This person in their review specifically said, this product is amazing. I love it. I'm giving it a 1-star review so the other 1-star reviews, so people looking at the other 1-star reviews will see that the problem is with the user, not the product. Meaning that the users who were giving it 1-star were just doing it fucked up, which I believe. But the way they went about doing it is by giving the thing a 1-star review, so it got bunched in with the other 1-star reviews.
You gotta play the algorithm.
So they had a 5-star product that they rated 1-star simply because they wanted it to be viewed with the other 1-star reviews debunking them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Doing that thing where sometimes people do that with movies and video games. It's like, this. Everyone gave this game 10 stars, but it's... And I think it's a 5-star game, but because everyone gave it 10 stars, I'm going to give it 1.
He has not given the thumbs up yet.
This product, everyone's giving it 10 stars. I think it's 5 stars, but I'll give it 1-star because that'll help bring the number closer to what I think it should be, 5 stars. People just don't fucking respect that fucking ratings mean something. This user giving us 1-star, that's fine. I'm not complaining about that. I'm just saying it got me thinking about all the world of 1-star reviews that I know this is an old problem. Everyone's aware. And Dan, that's why you don't worry about those reviews. You just read the critics. Even they're full of shit sometimes.
You're not really supposed to read critics.
The fuck is wrong with people, you know? Okay.
If you're a creator, you don't really read critics.
Yeah, you get
critics are talking to the people that aren't the creators.
Yeah, exactly.
Even sting a 5-star product 1-star review because you want other people in the 1-star category to see your review.
All right. So,
if you think a product's 5 stars, give it fucking 5 stars. Don't game the algorithm.
How many stars would you give Star Trek, the original series, season 2, episode 13, Obsession?
Oh, well, I rather liked it, actually.
I liked it. It was confusing what the message it was trying to get across.
A little bit.
No message. I enjoyed it, too, except when it felt to me like, we'll get into all the little nooks and crannies and details. There's good stuff in here. To me, it felt like watching a Lower Decks episode where they had removed all the jokes.
Yeah.
So, like, the meat is there of the plot, except there's just, like, nothing. There's nothing to hook onto. It was good. It was just, the other point I wanted to make, I think that this episode unfairly, retroactively suffers a little bit because so many of the tropes that are going on in this episode have been done so much in Star Trek in subsequent episodes of the franchise. Particularly the trope of we have to deliver life-changing medical supplies or emergency supplies, and something that's happening with the captain is preventing us from doing that, creating a moral dilemma.
Well, here's a 15-second clip of like all the times they were bitching on about this perishable shit.
Those vaccines he's transferring to us are highly perishable.
It carries perishable
drugs. Forget the recitation, Spock, and all the facts.
Those drugs are perishable.
A medicine for a Theta 7 colony is not only needed desperately, it has a limited stability.
I'm aware of the situation, Engineer. And I'm getting a little tired of my senior officers conspiring against me.
So they just, yeah, they kept bringing
conspiring.
That thing up. And then Scotty's all pissed off. He's like, fuck you, man.
Yeah, even Scotty got in on that shit.
Engineer.
Because Kirk was like, sent conspiring. He's like, he implied mutiny. And
then he apologizes. Scotty's like, you're fucking right. Yeah, agree, motherfucker.
The drugs had to be perishable, so they had to get him back in time. Although that wasn't even a real tension because, like, we never were given exactly how much time they had. And it was kind of weird because Kirk just ignored it anyways. He was never clear. Yeah. He's like, I don't care if people... It was never clear to me why they were going after this creature, except that it was going to reproduce and, like, consume things. I was reminded of the crystalline entity and, like, how people, like... Well, sometimes people complain about how newer Star Trek doesn't have the same, like, moral dilemmas Star Trek used to have. They must be thinking of TNG because this episode didn't have any sort of set moral.
TOS usually did have something. Here it was a little almost off-putting because I hadn't seen this episode forever. This is sort of like a lesser known, less common episode for. It's not one of the top 10 lists, right? But the fact that no effort was made or even conceived to communicate with the creature,
right?
Which even with the crystalline entity. They do. There's the whole point is that they're trying to communicate with it, and then that's used in a bad way to kill it. But that was not their intention to kill it. They were trying to get through to it, and like that's normally the Star Trek thing to do is to, including on TOS. And it was sort of like Devil in the Dark, which was I think the season one episode of TOS. That was where there was some creatures killing the miners because the miners were killing them, and it turned out it was just a miscommunication. Home Soil on TNG with the ugly bags of mostly water. Those creatures, same deal.
Yeah,
where once you communicate, like, yes, there's death and killing going on, but it turns out that like it's on both sides, and once the information gets out, then the problem is solved. They don't do any of that here. It's just like, oh, we gotta kill this thing.
Yeah, basically. So what happens is like this thing kills a bunch of people 11 years ago at the USS Farragut.
It was like 200 people.
And over 1,000 light years away, and now it's back. And the whole episode, nobody...
It kills like 6 people.
The whole episode is confusing because everyone thinks Kirk's crazy, but I thought... I wasn't sure why they thought he was crazy. It turns out they thought he was crazy because he was insisting that it was a creature, and they were saying it wasn't a creature. Yeah. I thought it was just like he was so obsessed with this creature, and they were like, just let it go. Just let it do its thing. But that had nothing to do with it. It's the fact that he thought it was a creature. Once everyone established that it was a creature, which happened around little after the middle of the episode when Spock was like, yeah, this is a creature, and McCoy's like, oh, shit, I'm sorry, Kirk. That was the turning point. Right. At that point, when everyone felt it was a creature, they were on board with hunting this thing down and killing it. Because Spock was like, if it gets back home, it's going to reproduce. Right. It's going to like make thousands of these things, and it's going to consume everything. And like, yeah, I guess that's something to be worried about. But that's in stark contrast with the crystalline entity, which is obviously not comparable because it's different series, different writers, all that stuff. But
similar in the sense that it's something that comes from the sky and just kills a bunch of people, just like because the crystalline entity could just lay waste to people, right?
Yeah,
to whole communities.
And so they were just gonna they didn't try to communicate. They were just gonna kill it. The reason it probably attacked the Farragut to begin with, because they've established that this was in the Tycho system, fourth planet in the Tycho system, that this was probably its home. So probably the Farragut came in, disturbed its like breeding ground, and it was just protecting its like offspring or its civilization civilization or whatever.
We didn't do any Happy Gilmore with the golf ball home jokes. Did you want to do a Happy Gilmore reference with the go to your home?
Go to your home. Go to your home.
But you're not even doing the voice.
Go to your home. I can't do that one.
I didn't want to put you on the spot. I didn't want to put you on the spot there.
You'll get none aboard this ship, mister.
From viewing it from a Star Trek lens, this is one of those episodes.
Just do it.
that's a little bit off in that sense. I think the other thing about the structure of this story was that they did seem to want to have that whole crew thinking Kirk is acting like weird thing, and so I think that's why they. I mean, clearly that's why they withheld Kirk's story about the Farragut. initially, right? For they wanted it for a while. The writers wanted the audience to be like, what is going on with Kirk? Has he been infected by this alien gas? Is he going crazy? What's going on?
Yes.
He's acting weird. He's ignoring protocol and blah, blah, blah. Right. And then when we find out about the Farragut stuff, that makes it a lot more understandable. And then as an audience, you start getting annoyed at like Spock and especially McCoy. Cause you're like, didn't you hear what he said? Like he's encountered some similar shit before that fucked everybody up. And so at the very least, you should have some understanding as to why he might be
it takes
freaking
them a
out
while. Like he has to, like they try to do an intervention and then he has to explain himself like further. And then like, they finally get it. They're like, okay, well,
I do like the fact that there is a very a professional conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a hallmark of Star Trek going all the way up to nowadays, but it's really nice to see where they confront Kirk, but they're not like, you're fucking crazy.
They're
just like
pulling phasers.
No, they're like, dude, what's up? You're acting weird. And he's like, oh shit, I realize now I might look like I'm acting weird. Here's the reason why I'm acting weird.
So this episode, it seemed to me like it was going to sort of portray the folly of obsession or something at first, right? Like how it's like how Kirk is like, just he can't stop thinking about this thing. All the crew's turning against him. He's doing unreasonable shit. Like, we got to get these perishable drugs back. But he even says, like, if people have to die because they don't get their drugs, I'm fine with that. We have to find this thing.
Right.
And I was on board with the crew. It's like, yeah, this guy's getting obsessed. But on the same token, it's like, well, this is Kirk, so we know it's not going to be. But that whole obsession thing, it was undercut by the fact that everyone ends up agreeing with him in the end. So it seemed like the episode was going to go in the direction of Kirk fucking up due to like his own obsession, but it seems like it went for like a trust your instinct lesson instead.
It's
I don't
like,
know what
it's
it was
like
going
it should
for.
Have been like obsession with a question mark.
With parentheses and a question mark.
Obsession.
But it was I don't know.
I honestly think it's because when it comes down to it, there's no real thematic through line here. This is almost more of a particular adventure. It's like they started with the idea of like the title and then just didn't go through it. And, they're like, what if we call a story Obsession? Well, and Kem Kirk is obsessed with something.
And in the first half of the episode, I was on board. I was like, wow, this is really cool. It's showing like this guy falling apart. Yeah. This is tight, you know? And obviously it's Kirk. So, you know, it's not going to happen like that in the end, like I said before. But at the same time, it was like, cool, but the way it resolved itself, I was left kind of just like, wait a minute, I don't really know what to, you know, what
are we supposed to think?
3.5 stars out of 5? I don't know.
Wow, I was wondering when you get around to the actual rating. How about this? Let's take a quick break.
Yeah.
And when we return, we will continue our in-depth discussion of Obsession, question mark?
Parentheses, question mark, open parens, question mark, question mark, close parens.
We'll be right back. And we're back. We've returned.
Do I have your attention, Ensign?
Yes, well, yes, yes. Really you do have my attention, Commander. Commander Spock.
Yes, sir.
Hemoplasm.
Hemoplasm.
Hemoplasm. Mm. Every red corpuscle. There was a lot of medical stuff. And
people
don't
say corpuscle anymore, do they?
No, I don't think so.
It's like an old term for like just blood cell.
You don't hear a lot of that. You do in this episode, particularly at the beginning, everyone's stressing out about this whole meeting up with the Yorktown. It's like the fucking Yorktown. Scotty in particular.
Every red corpuscle gone from the body.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, jeez.
Every red corpuscle gone from the body.
Yeah. Every red corpuscle gone from
the body. Corpuscle, yeah. Another thing, we never found out, like, what the we didn't really find out why the alien was doing anything it was doing.
Yeah,
the corpuscle thing, they never really went on that. It's just that's how it kills them, I guess. And for some reason, it communicates through smell for some reason.
And do you think that they picked that because they knew of Spock having the alien blood and that was something they could play with? Or do you think they were going for sort of like a sinister vampire vibe? I don't know. The blood,
it wasn't clear.
Second blood,
pretty vague.
slurping up the blood.
We don't know. Like, they didn't explore it. Like I said, in the odor thing, we find out that that's how Kirk communicates with it, but
with
we don't
honey odor.
But we don't know how he knows how to communicate honey with odor. It. We don't know how Kirk knows that it's thinking of it's making home smells when it like he's like they're going home.
Home smell.
And we like why does Kirk know what this is honey
smells
smell
like
means?
A beef stew.
Well, it's sort of like remember the fourth season of Discovery in the end bit when they have that really cool way to communicate with the alien. Mm-hmm. This is like a shitty version.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They didn't quite think it through or like
right.
maximize it because they get this hint of this fascinating idea that an alien cloud creature communicates via smell. That's great.
Yeah.
I want a story sure. about that and then about how Spock and McCoy have to team up and make a bunch of sense in order to communicate with this creature. And Nurse Chapel saves the day because she's got like a better nose or something, or she makes some joke about something. And McCoy is like, aha. And that's the solution. And it turns out everyone has to like fart into a jar. And that's how you like make peace is like with the. Yeah. And would play that music. Precisely. But they didn't do that in this episode. Now, I think all that being said, there are issues in this episode. It can be at times a little boring. Again, I think just because like we've seen some of this stuff later. We've seen some of this stuff later in Star Trek.
When have we seen it?
We've seen some of this
sooner? Later. Sooner?
Yeah.
Well, maybe some of it sooner.
A bit of it.
Or better versions of it sooner. But yeah, I guess what I'm trying to say is that there are some issues here that are not necessarily issues with the production. It's more of the context and the timing and all that stuff. But there's a lot of stuff in there that I thought was good, even if it was confusing. Like all this stuff with what's the ensign's name?
Garavik.
Garavik, right?
Garavik.
And then he's captain. His dad was captain.
Farragut.
Was Kirk's. Captain on the Farragut. On
Captain Kirk's, Garavik of the Farragut.
On Kirk's,
I hadn't thought about that, and now I'm aggravated.
Kirk's first...
Aggravated.
Kirk's first
deep space
mission in 11... And that was 11 years ago was his first deep space mission. So that's some lore.
Yeah, when right Captain there. Pike is tooling around doing his business on the Enterprise.
And so the last time he saw him was when Captain Garavik was his captain... And then when he sees him again.
No, he's not seeing him. Well,
oh, I'm sorry. He's seeing the sun. Well, okay. Let me start over.
It's a different person.
First time he saw the gassy beast thing.
Yes.
Was when Captain Garavik was Kirk's captain.
Yes.
And the next time
the gassy beast murdered everybody.
Yeah. And the next and only time he sees the gassy beast, it just so happens that Garavik's son, Ensign Garavik, is on there as well, which was kind of like, that also had some, like, that opened it
potential.
Up. Potential, yeah, for like, it interesting.
In fact, it misled me because, okay, so I was scanning through, before even watching this episode and not having much recollection of it, having not seen it in many, many years, I was going through screen grabs of the episode. And so I was just going through and seeing bits and pieces from the episode, and... As we all recall from having watched the episode, late in the game, for again, slightly inexplicable and confusing plot reasons, Garavik tries to attack Kirk and knock him out with a kung fu chop or whatever.
He really should have.
Whatever the inappropriate term from the 1960s would be.
I guess he thinks that Kirk is going to sacrifice
him. Yeah. So,
he should have followed through with that chop. He was got no power in that chop.
But okay, but here's the thing, right? So if you see images.
No power in that chop.
You keep seeing images of this handsome fella. This handsome Garavik fella.
Incapacitated.
Throughout the episode. And disconnected from the plot. And
he's tall.
And you think, oh, he's associated with this cloud creature. So I had mistakenly extrapolated a plot in my mind before even watching this episode, thinking that the cloud creature had somehow either infected this guy or gotten involved with this guy. Because I was like, all right, there's a handsome ensign. And he's showing up in a lot of the episodes, so he's got something going on. And then when his name was Garavik, I was like, oh, maybe Captain Garavik is associated with the cloud creature, and it's some weird genetic thing, and that's going to be like some weird, crazy sci-fi shit that's going to go down. No, as you said, Dan, just a coincidence.
Yeah.
a coinkydink.
And yeah,
colloquially.
And so, and then
a little too coincidental.
A little too, Raph.
If you ask Jesse.
That's I made a TMNT 2 joke.
Yeah.
It's not as good as TMNT, the first TMNT.
This is my mop.
Yeah. TMNT UHF? In 1990.
It's not as good as
is
my
a
first
good
mop,
movie.
But it's a good mop.
TMNT 2 is not a very good movie. It's an enjoyable movie. It is not a good movie. That's right.
Well, so speaking of missed opportunities. There was another one, which wasn't so much a missed opportunity, but something that's unclear, and maybe they could have like played a little bit more with. That sounds so lame to say like that.
can you say it again?
Something that they could have played with more a little bit in the plot. When Kirk benches Garavik, when he relieves him of duty.
You mean when they're like just kind of fooling around in the gym?
Yeah.
And Kirk starts bench pressing Garavik, and Garavik is like, "Captain, you are so strong."
So
we're boring Jesse again.
Yeah.
Jesse's playing with a little.
Do I have your attention?
Little canister thing. All right.
Volumes are all over the place today. Okay. I need to adjust my volume levels.
Right. Watch your levels, mister.
When Kirk relieves Garavik of duty.
Duty.
When he does this.
Duty.
Garavik, he relieves him of duty for this.
Duty.
Because Garavik did the same thing Kirk did, mm-hmm. which is hesitated before he shot.
Yes.
Garavik did the same thing Kirk did. Yeah. So why did he, now, at first I was thinking, well, maybe he relieved him so Garavik wouldn't have to feel guilty about murdering the whole ship. But no, it had nothing to do with that. I mean, it had to do with like Kirk projecting.
Was punishing himself.
He was projecting. That's what I'm.
Kirk believes that's himself what to be guilty.
That's pretty much what I was going to say if you had let me get to the finish of my sentence.
Really?
You had in fact already said it.
No, I didn't. I hadn't said it yet.
Following the rules of conversation, I am buttressing your point by reframing and supporting the point
where I said projecting.
You said projecting.
After you started talking.
I need your buttress.
That's just good timing on my part.
Well, you must have had the same time sync ability that smoke monster had. Remember when Spock said he had a time sync ability?
Oh, yeah. And that was another semi-inexplicable thing because I think it was sufficient from the imagery. I know it's the upgraded graphics, but, you know, from the remaster. But the fact is like you're trying to shoot a cloud creature and then it just like makes a little hole. So you're not shooting at it. You're actually shooting through it.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily.
That was enough of an explanation to me as opposed to needing this gravity time thing.
Yeah, right. For me, it was like, oh, it's smoke. It just went around the thing. Yeah. He went time sync, I was like, what are you talking about? It was like, oh, I guess I was okay. You made a new explanation for something I'd already made an explanation for.
It is interesting though, and I do think it's a good part of this episode. It's one of the highlights of this episode is the focus on Kirk's trauma and his psychology. You know, we already have said that we couldn't see any like super clear, like overall themes. There's a little bit of jumbling stuff here. But one of the things that's in the jumble that does stand out a little bit is this idea that Kirk, yes, he was projecting. He felt guilty. Somebody else was in a similar situation and he felt compelled to, because he feels guilty, he wants to be guilty. He wants to justify feeling guilty by saying that guy's guilty too.
And then you have the moment where he realizes that
he missed the train.
He's not guilty because no weapon would have worked. And then he shares it with the other guy. And that's the part I really like about this episode, where it's like this whole tension is healed. And then they're like, okay, I'm. And then the ensign dude is like, he's totally cool after that. Yeah. He's like, all right.
And that's why that end bit is kind of funny, because they've already largely resolved that stuff. And in the end bit where the ensign is like, oh shit, Kirk's going to sacrifice himself. I'm going to attack this motherfucker and knock him out.
And Kirk is just like, no, you're not.
And Kirk is like, he, like,
pins him against the rocks.
I'm not going to kill myself. I'm not ready to kill myself just yet.
Don't you understand?
Lolita, I'm James Mason. That goes back.
Suppose it camouflaged itself.
Sabotage. Yes. The camouflage.
Camouflage.
That jumped right out at me.
Yeah.
I love how it's jumping out at me, even though, you know, you've talked about it, that sound thing when you hear a sound and over, and then it sounds different to you when you hear it in context.
Toboggan.
Sound tobogganing is the
gaseous, 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 gaseous.
What are you doing? Okay, I know you were demonstrating it. but yeah, the camouflage is not even the same thing, but it did make me think of the sabotage. Camouflage.
Wait a second.
What are we waiting for?
Camouflaged itself. Sabotage.
Sabotage.
Yeah, the same one. There was another one where McCoy said Waz.
Yeah. I don't remember that one.
Waz.
Waz. Oh, like, was he saying was?
He had a few funny little twangs.
Waz.
He said like vaccines all funny, like vaccines.
It's just the scenes. Right here.
Waz. 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 Waz.
It's part of this line.
Did I what?
Did you get any subconscious impressions that this was a creature, a living, thinking thing, rather than just a strange,
was
chemical element?
Hey, wait, can you guess what this
was?
Can you get what this is from?
Titled.
I just keep doing it over and over again.
Can you guess what that's from?
Tritadium? Titled. Fievel?
Titled.
Fievel goes west? Or is it the original, An American Tale?
Jesse, can you guess what the...
Dichoronium?
Can you get the context for this?
Dichoronium? No. Here.
Okay,
no.
I'm going to play the full clip.
Because I delayed in firing it.
You had a normal emotion. You were startled. You delayed firing for a grand total of perhaps 2 seconds. Startled.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was fun.
It was good.
Yeah, did you like that?
No. I enjoyed that, yeah. I mean, I sincerely enjoyed that. I hope our audience enjoyed that as well.
Speaking of funny words, Garavik goes...
Gaseous cloud.
But then McCoy goes...
Gaseous cloud.
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 Do you have either...
What do you like better?
Magnification one. Magnification one. Magnification one. Magnification one. Magnification one. Magnification one. Magnification one.
It goes up to magnification five. See?
Do you like gaseous?
Dan's got this smirk and Dan's like, I'm going to get us the one star rating this week.
Wouldn't stop playing sound files.
They just keep playing the sound files over and over. We get it. We get it, man. We get it.
I just want to know that I have some agency in this whole thing.
You do.
Chief O'Brien.
Jesus Christ.
This volume is all over the place. I don't know what's going on. I apologize.
Man, it's
Balana's on it.
Balana's
on it. Chief O'Brien.
Balana's on.
Okay. You've thrown me off of my...
Yeah, we were talking about
camouflaged.
Yeah, we were talking about the guy.
Oh yeah, and the
he's like, oh yeah,
Garavik, Ensign Garavik,
handsome. Have you been saying handsome Garavik?
No, I've been saying Ensign Garavik, but I've noted that he was very handsome, and
let's call him handsome Garavik.
I know that because I know that because come on, but I mentioned that because. The fact that he was like, he's got a look about him where he's like, oh, that's the handsome guy where something shady is going on.
Yeah.
And that's again.
As soon as he appears on the bridge, y'all walks on.
Yeah.
It's like, what's up with this dude?
He's like a red shirt who like is
totally
not,
a red
not dead. And he's all tall and handsome. And he's all like, hey, how's it going? Captain Kirk. I'm a hot guy.
Remember when he threw his dish at the wall and it like turned off the filtration system for the room because they have controls for the filtration system every room.
And that's when I thought that he was that the smoke creature was going to go in and infect his brain. I was like, he's going to be sleeping there and the smoke creature is going to come in and be all like doo 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 and slurp into his ear and be all.
You have to watch out when you're sleeping.
So the whole episode, I kept thinking things were going to happen that did not happen.
Right. Do you think,
we always took the more standard route.
You should always try to avoid sleep.
Real quick, do you think that when he threw the dish at the thing to turn the switch off, do you think in real life they actually flipped the switch off by throwing something at it? Obviously, they threw something at it.
It looked like it, man.
But do you think it actually flipped the switch off, or was it already off? These are some production notes I'd like.
That's the magic of Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly. But
the
no,
magic of track down some of the studios,
some of the people.
But Patrick,
track down the Switch Master.
Patrick,
I'm the Switch Master.
Were you the Switch Master at Desilu Studios?
Patrick, you make a solid point though. Yeah, it kept making you think things were going to happen that had absolutely nothing to really. They just kind of.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to trick these motherfuckers.
None of it. It was
these
all...
motherfuckers watching the show is the second season. We're going to trick them.
It was all
just make it real boring.
It was
they eat it up. They're a bunch of rubes.
It was all just
kids. They like the stars. We got the star part. We just don't want.
Here's your stars.
We don't
kid.
Have enough budget for the Trek part.
It's
anymore.
A bunch of red stars.
It's gonna be a bunch of stars and clouds.
It was a series.
A blue one
it was a
there.
Series of things that were pushing
straightforward
the,
plot.
It was series. It was a series of things that happened that were put in there to push the episode forward, but they weren't related. There was no connection. They were just random things.
And the main connection
push
was
push it forward.
That psychology story. And they do a couple different psychological things. Like Nurse Chapel has that whole thing where she tricks Garavik.
Yeah.
She carries that. I forget what it was.
Some kind of data tape.
Yeah. Wasn't it a data tape about like simian? What was it? Simian something?
Yeah.
Simian mating rituals or something?
Something over my head, I forget.
whatever it was, she lied to him. She just took a, she took a computer disc in and she waved it around. She's like, these are the McCoy's official orders that says that he's going to fucking force feed you food if you don't eat your gloop.
You don't see Nurse Chapel in too many gloop. Episodes.
It was split pea soup and it looked like it was like melon, watermelon, and mango, but they looked like they were made out of clay.
It looked like he had a plate full of fucking Legos.
Yeah, it really did.
He opened up the fucking Legos and he was like, fucking Legos, and he threw the fucking lid against the wall and then it hit the switch and he was like, God damn.
So the tape, okay, now the tape, it was a survey on Cygnian respiratory diseases.
Oh, Cygnian. Yeah. I thought it said simian.
No, Cygnian, C-Y-G, C-Y-G-N.
Respiratory diseases.
Are the, so, those are the bird people.
So,
I don't know.
So, oh, no, wait.
Those are the areolas.
The, the Cygnian, or those are the,
Seti Alpha 5.
The pig
That's
people?
That's the Seti Alpha 5!
The pig people?
The pig people. Oh, the
Tellarites.
Tellarites. Yeah.
Do you think so? Are
the, maybe the Tellarites?
I forget those disc-looking things that are like wooden blocks. Are those
the little squares?
Those are
rectangles.
Those are tapes. But are they not? Are they also? Are they the record tapes specific? Because they kept talking about record tapes.
They hadn't yet figured out the term disc.
But they were. What about the blocks that they were eating?
Those were just Jell-O.
Those eating blocks.
Those are space Jell-O. Space cubes.
Some kind of Legos.
Well, they kept talking about record tapes, and I was trying to figure out what the fuck a record tape was.
That's what the... It's a disc. A
recording.
Yeah, they're just taking it around.
But is that...
they don't have internet.
No, but I'm saying...
And they don't have, like, Wi-Fi. They don't got Bluetooth.
They don't have floppy disks.
But what I'm asking...
Yeah, they don't even have floppy disks. They have, like, electric tape. They got little zip drives.
Magnetic tape.
What I was asking is, were those blocks, are they called record tapes or just tapes? When they were talking about record tapes, were they talking about those things?
Sure, I think so.
Because I've never heard them referred to as record tapes. I thought they were just tapes.
They've always got a bunch of them in a little file, and they're all like rooting through them and pulling them out. So that seems as record tapey as anything.
It just was, it was confusing then.
Well, yeah.
Because Spock was talking something about like how he can read faster or something.
He was just insulting McCoy because he was like, McCoy, have you checked out this information? And McCoy was like, dude, I've been busy. Motherfuckers have been dropping dead and some of them not dropping dead. So I have to tend to them. I've only scanned through a couple things. He was like, there's like 8 or 9 hours of this shit.
So,
and Spock was all like, you fucking lazy piece of shit. I speed read through this. I listened to this podcast on 2x speed.
The Vulcans have a term. They call it like showing their ass.
What? Showing their ass.
So, yeah, I don't even know what that means.
You know, and then when they're like, you know, they're telling you like how they're better than you.
Ah, okay. I'd never heard that term before. So the line was, McCoy said, with all these deaths and injuries, I've only had a chance to scan the tapes. There are 8 or 10 hours of record tape there. And Spock goes, fortunately, I read somewhat faster. Now, that was confusing because can't most people read faster than like when something is orated back to you? What's it called? What's it called? You know, when you just...
I really just want to go with your term.
Orelated. When someone orelates...
Orally men.
When somebody orelates, can't most people read faster than someone orelates?
No, not necessarily. It depends how fast the person's talking and how complex the words are.
I'm not a fast reader by any means. I
tend not to be a fast reader.
It's good to take your time. That's the point.
But what I'm saying is I would think that most people, like not most people, but I'm saying like your average reader could probably read faster than somebody plays a tape back. You know, that's why
I don't think that they're all. So I think there's logs.
I think they had a lot of records.
Yeah, I think the point was is there's lots of information.
When 200 like members of Starfleet die, there's going to be a lot of reports filed, a lot of
and
like,
so McCoy
follow up
right, and so McCoy was listening to all that
meetings. You have the minutes.
I don't know
of
that
meetings.
He was listening to it, even going through it.
Okay, well then there. Okay, so. If he's not listening, so you're saying he's reading it. McCoy is reading it.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying I had not considered past the concept of him consuming in one of multiple modes.
That's why I was confused because they talk
the information.
So my distinction I was trying to make was between tapes and record tapes. My impression was that tapes are audio visual
stuff.
Records
are them flat things.
But the record tape would be something somebody reads from. It's like a tape of.
But why are you deciding that there is that?
Because how is Spock getting through the same record tapes more quickly than McCoy? Because
he has superior.
Yeah,
because
it's a sci-fi show and he's an alien and
he's
partly
showing his ass.
He also could just be lying because he's just. He's quote unquote showing his ass to
what I'm asserting is that a record tape is something you read.
I'm asking for any textual evidence that would suggest because that. It seems like you're merely assuming that.
No, I'm said that, and Jesse was like, because Spock can... Jesse has said himself, because Spock can read faster than McCoy.
Okay.
And so I'm saying...
That's what I'm inferring from
and
this.
So, and so they were both reading from the record tape. So record tapes are something you read.
It's something you stick into that, you know, the view screen, and you read it in like some kind of microfiche.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
And you agreed with Jesse, so obviously you agree with me.
Obviously. So
I was just trying to understand.
We've therefore concluded we're all good there. We're all on the same page, obviously.
I was just trying to figure out how Spock could get through something that you listen to faster than McCoy can, and he can't. So it's something that implies that record tapes are what you read.
He did say read. Yeah.
Yeah. So record tapes are what you read.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just taking it.
Or are you saying it's a multimedia, like a disc, like it has visuals and readies, like a web page?
First of all, that's sort of my assumption. Second of all, I honestly hadn't really given it much thought because I just understand this in a literary sense to be...
I'm sure there are a bunch of graphics.
They're conveying information to us, and Spock is part of Spock's personality is to fuck with McCoy and telling McCoy that he's lazy and unskilled when it comes to reviewing records in whatever mode that's the records are being reviewed in, whether they're audio, video.
McCoy was too Braille. Busy like doing his fucking job.
Exactly. Spock is a piece of shit. Spock is just being a total dickhead.
Well, I was just paying attention to the details. The devil is in the details.
Thanks. Pitchforks and pointed ears.
Pitchforks and pointed ears.
And pointed ears.
So he was saying Spock was Satan.
Yeah.
Or the devil.
And that might be a meta joke because that was a sort of an initial concern of the studio. And I think of some audience members who were opposed to Star Trek in the first season that they thought that Spock had a devilish appearance. Mm. And that partly that might have been done somewhat on purpose by Roddenberry. Because Roddenberry is trying to make the point that, like, this guy's cool.
Back in the day, people believed could be
cool.
In the devil.
If you look different, you can still be a cool person, even if you come from a totally, literally totally alien culture.
One of them planets with nothing on it.
Nothing at all.
James T. Kirk.
How about we take...
In all seriousness, let's take another break.
Another quick break. And when we return, we will conclude our discussion.
We'll try to fix it.
Obsession. Be right back. All right. We have returned to the podcast. We were briefly in the void.
Thank you, our sponsors.
But because you've called for us back, we've exited the void and have returned to the podcast.
Didn't we have like a word from our sponsors or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Some kind of shit.
A singular word.
One singular word.
$1,000 per word.
Fuck off.
So can you guess
two words?
That's two words. Fuck.
Can you guess the context
Be showing your ass.
Can you guess the context based upon a short portion of this line?
Blessed.
Yes. I think I know that one. Play it again.
Blessed.
What?
Blessed.
That's really familiar. I can't remember now where it is. What is it?
It's when Kirk says.
I'll stop. I don't want to get
delayed.
Don't get in trouble.
Okay.
Blessed.
It's when Kirk. Jesse. We avoid the fart noises. We got complaints about that too.
Sorry. I forgot about that. Because we never ever made fart noises until somebody complained about fart noises, and then we started making fart noises.
Yeah, let's maybe not do that.
Okay. All right.
It's part of this line.
Hey Jesse, Dan's being the mature one this week.
It's part of this line.
It's unsettling. All right.
We respectfully ask permission to inquire further and...
Blasted, forget the manual.
Oh.
Blasted, is it?
Yeah, he says blasted.
Blasted, blast. Forget the manual.
Blasted, going forget against, the manual.
Going against protocol.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm.
Do you think they each have a manual in like a drawer in their quarters?
Dan, do you have a recording of Kirk saying the title of the episode?
No, I just realized I forgot to do that.
I was wondering if you, because I was like, normally you get that. Because Kirk is all like, I know, I seem... obsessed.
I know. When I opened everything up, I was like, oh shit, I can't believe I forgot that. It's like the most important one to do. But, you know.
But you got the wallow in a pool of emotion.
Not aboard this ship, mister.
Right? The wallow in a pool of emotion. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And you got the colloquially expressed, but essentially correct.
Colloquially expressed, but essentially correct.
Yeah. I know you would prefer to wallow in a pool of emotion.
Oh.
Oh, that was when Spock tried to block the smoke by putting his hands on the grate. He was like putting his hands on there.
Yeah, I was gonna play. That's not logical, Spock. Yeah, it's right. Not logical to think your sensual, sexy long fingers are gonna block a giant ass vent.
What, like in the very beginning, they're looking at that big rock and like,
oh yeah,
and Kirk all like bumps on it and he's like, knock knock. It's like this is 10 times stronger than diamond.
It's like, why does it sound like plaster and wood?
It's like tuck, 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 tuck.
It's this.
Yeah.
That sounded so funny.
Yeah. That's how hard it sounds. And when it's obviously like some like hollow paper mache or something like
that. So much
like
harder than
it was pretty though.
And it was,
although the part that
you were trying to tell you.
Shit.
The part that Kirk phasered off, or that, you know, the Kirk picked up after Spock phasered it off. It looked like a cow patty.
Phasered yeah.
It, it just looked like a chunk of cow poo with glitter in it.
That part actually kind of grossed me out for some reason because first of all, so okay, this stuff.
Pure tritanium.
So it's tritanium.
Yeah, which it's I don't like that name.
It's not titanium.
It's too hard to pronounce.
What happened to dicaronium?
It's dicaronium.
That's from the smoke creature.
You mean this?
Dicaronium.
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 Dicaronium reading now, sir.
It makes me want daikon radishes.
So yeah,
y'all like these daikon radishes? So, you had these?
So
you heard of these?
Sounds delicious.
So it's tritanium. Sounds like titanium.
Titanium.
And it's spelled the same as titanium.
Quattro triticale.
It's spelled the same as titanium, except they put an R between the T and the I, and it made it tritanium.
Tritanium?
Tritanium.
Baris.
Which is
tritanium.
Which is 21, over 20, it's 21.
Is it 1.21
I knew you were going to fucking do that. Look.
1.21 gigawatts.
We're doing it again.
Isn't
we're
it gigawatts?
We're talking over, like, all gigawatts. The hell over each other right now.
Doc Brown would be one of those people who says GIF instead of GIF. And I'm sorry, audience, if you're a GIF person.
See, that's why he's a man.
That's fine. I'm not going to like hate you, but come on. It's GIF.
This is what
graphics interchange format.
This is us talking over each other, soon to be yelling over each
just
other.
Being
that's why he was rejected by the scientific community.
So what I was trying to say is that tritanium is supposed to be 21.4 times harder than diamond, which is why they couldn't cut it. But they were able to phaser it. How is that different from cutting it? I don't know.
Because the phaser is some hard shit, man. You just dial it up.
This is the 1960s.
You dial it up to the higher settings.
Then why didn't they just...
Cutting means like cutting with a knife back in the 60s.
So they just... Right, so they were I can only assume that they were unable to phaser it in half because that would require too much energy.
I think it was just we have to give an allowance for the producers at this time had not yet progressed to the point where they could imagine using light to cut up rocks.
But they could use it to like knock
blast off chunks of rocks.
They blast off a chunk
I guess you could say that's different. Like you wouldn't use dynamite to cut something, but you would use it to blast something.
I put it in the same box of plot fix-em-ups of universe fix-em-ups that we have, like, that they don't have internet.
You check those record tapes. Every red corpuscle gone from their body.
Every red corpuscle gone. There was one thing I wanted to note is that there's a musical cue that's a common one in TOS that I really like, and I'll play it right here. Not this part. The part coming up. This part.
Oh yeah,
the scales. Because that comes up frequently, right? If we play it again, we'll start it here. That's something you hear. You hear it in Star Trek II. I think they had some of that in Star Trek in Picard. But that violin's going up and down and up and down.
Yeah.
That's I really like that. That's that sinister like.
It's
ooh.
Like Mahler's Second Symphony.
Precisely.
That's I almost recorded that one. I got this one after when Kirk's like, it can't exist, but it does.
Yeah, classic.
Oh. can't exist, but it does. I'm not
showing ass.
Oh, there was a great
Vulcan, the old Vulcan tradition of showing ass.
So here's this is I think for some reason I really like this. Is like a, to me, a really like what you think of a Kirk delivery when you think of Kirk deliveries.
Let's assume that it's something so completely different that our senses would not identify it as a life form.
That seems doesn't yeah. sound like he's just like got some pauses and he doesn't say life form. He's like life form.
It sounds like very a bunch of different form. Like super edited.
Except it's not. It's just how he talks.
I know, right?
Star Trek. In all these musical hits I have, you can hear like the door going, opening and closing in the background because they always use that as the go-between of the thingy.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
They always use that. I do want to note that I think that they did a pretty good job, at least some of the time in this episode, even given the constraints of the time period and the television budget and the capacity for special effects and all that stuff. The smoke creature at times was really quite sinister. It was scary.
It just shows up and it comes with the vans and it's all like, oh no, here's the smoke creature. Like when it was came like, through space when and they came in your ship.
When they were first on the planet, right? And then the smoke creature's all like floating around, you know, up at the top. That looks scary. I mean, I don't know. It was scary.
No, it was sneaking around.
It wasn't so scary all the time when it was killing people and like it was like flashing lights and there's funny flashing lights. Oh, yeah, that was a little less
scary.
They
look like sparklers. They looks like they took sparklers
and filmed the sparklers.
And filmed sparklers.
That may be how they did that.
And when it exploded at the end, it was like some cheesy like.
Say sparklers. Yeah. Say sparklers again.
No, I don't want to.
Does Dan say sparklers in a funny way?
No, he said it in a nice way.
Sparklers?
Oh, a nice way.
Sparklers?
Sparklers.
Pancakes?
He does say it in a fun way.
Pancakes.
It makes you feel like you're excited to use a sparkler.
All these crewmen died just so Kirk could chase this thing that might,
Well, not that many.
No.
It's like six.
Yeah, which is a lot of fuck. Well, it was like three or four died and two in critical condition or something.
I don't think there's an episode of TOS where nobody dies.
Well, but this was all in the pursuit of a creature that they said might fuck other things up. Yeah. Like there was, it was kind of like, was it that sort of urgent that they had to risk everything at that moment? Like, I don't know. I don't buy the whole Kirk vindication, redemption, whatever thing.
Okay. I think this gets back to a confusion that to me feels like a result of some people going back and forth in terms of the script, in terms of which direction they wanted to go. Because there's this psychological aspect with Kirk feeling guilty for something that he wasn't able to, you know, save enough lives in the past because of a mistake that he perceived he was making. And then he's seeing somebody else make a similar mistake and it's reminding him of it. And he's it's a bit Moby Dickish in some ways, right? You know, a little bit of that white whale.
White whale.
But the problem is that I think, again, the audience watching is unclear whether to think like, is Kirk going crazy? What, he's clearly acting in an un-Kirk way. They withhold some of the information
he's
about
being
the Farragut.
Very undue.
Yeah. And then when it's revealed, you're like, oh, okay, well he seemed, then you're like, yeah, I mean, he seems to know what he's talking about. Why is everyone treating him like shit? And that's where it's a good episode overall, but it has these little loosey-goosey bits and pieces where you're like, I don't know what's going on.
Well,
because again, think about what we mentioned, the Spock trying to cover his, you know, that's really funny when he's trying to like cover the vent with his hands. We cut away, we don't see Spock, and then he comes out and he's perfectly fine. Now, the joke is that is because of his copper blood.
I don't know if that's a joke.
It's a always gag. The joke.
It's a gag.
Always the joke.
It's a gag. It's a literary gag. That is like,
oh, it's literary.
Yeah, because then Kirk is all like, well, why aren't you, you know, pardon me for asking, but why aren't you dead?
It's a fancy joke.
It's a joke. That's a joke.
It's an joke. Ongoing joke. He's got green blood.
At the minimum, it's a gag. But again, you could
Statue
also,
of Liberty.
You could have seen them, you know, going into different directions where it's like, oh, is Spock like I keep going back to this, like, is this smoke creature like infecting people and making them act weird? Is it infecting Kirk? What exactly is happening here? And I think watching it over a second time, the plot makes much more sense because you're like, oh, okay, I kind of get where everything's going. So, it holds together a little bit better. But that's a little bit of an issue I had navigating the
episode. Along those lines, there were some mysterious lines by Kirk that weren't really answered that well, if at all. There's one part where Spock goes, "You think you know what it was, Captain?" Kirk goes, "Something that can't possibly exist, but it does." Yeah. And we never follow up on why it can't exist. Yeah, it's can't just
it? Now it's a cloud.
Now my only thought would be
I've seen clouds every
now,
day.
Now my only thought could be is like Patrick, when you were mentioning earlier about how back then, like maybe they didn't. Like you were talking about something about phasers cutting versus exploding. They didn't have the whatever.
I mean, that conversation was not that long ago.
No, I know. And that's why
literally a couple minutes
ago. That's why I'm bringing it up. I'm just saying, like, I'm bringing up that's what I'm referring to. We've talked a lot about a lot of things. I'm referring to that thing.
It's not that you're recapping it. It's that you're recapping it in such a way that makes it seem like you don't remember it.
Okay, fine. Whatever. The point I'm making is that back then, maybe they didn't have a lot of experience in TV shows and stuff with the idea of a smoke creature that can shape shift.
Yes,
I feel like they must have had something back then, but the way they treat this thing, they treat it like it's impossible that this could exist.
No,
it's like,
weapon could destroy it.
But if you look at any sci-fi today, like, of course it's totally possible that something could exist like that in sci-fi. Maybe back then they just hadn't had that idea that much or something. Yeah. Because we don't know why it can't exist. Anyways.
But on the other hand, the idea of a formless shape-shifting sort of monster, this is thousands of years old, right? It's not like that in and of itself is particularly new. I think part of
that's what I thought, but I was trying to find a reason.
I think it's just, you know, some stuff that just got fumbled when they put together this script.
So, okay, here's another line that they didn't really follow up on. When Spock says, to hide from a sensor scan, it would have to be able to change its molecular structure, like gold changing itself to lead or wood changing itself to ivory. And Kirk goes, you've just suggested something that never occurred to me. If it might provide some answers to a tape record... Not a record tape, which I think you'll find Dr. McCoy is looking at this very moment.
But he wasn't actually looking at it.
What answers does it provide? He says, you've just suggested something that never occurred to me, that it shifts shape. Like, we never get an answer that relates to when he's like... Well,
you got to read them records, and they're just that, you know.
But
you know that the characters read the records, but you don't know exactly everything that was in the records.
I just want to know what occurred to Kirk, like when Spock said it can shift shapes, shape shift, when it can changeify, when it can morphulate,
dodge bullets,
transmogrify, when it can do that.
Dodge bullets.
Kirk's like, I just thought of something that I never thought of before, but we don't really find out what it is that he's thinking of that he. You'd think they'd follow up on that. Maybe they did somehow, but I don't know.
Now that you bring it up, honestly, yeah. I think it's either a loose thread or we're supposed to make some assumptions about what it means and there's not enough information for us to make those assumptions. Or, alternatively, we are too ignorant.
Maybe.
And we just might be stupid dumb fucks and can't handle this level of Star Trek, so we're missing out.
This is high-level Star Trek. We missed out.
I think it's just that the producers were working on this script, which was written by, what was his name? Like Art was it Art Wallace who wrote this script?
Yes, I believe it was.
Yeah, Art Wallace wrote this script, but he's the writer of record. You know, there's always other writers involved, and maybe he and Gene Roddenberry were having some sort of battle of wits. And pulling the story in different directions.
Battle of wits.
That's possible.
Also, it seemed like it was like another one of those stories. I think I mentioned this about another Star Trek episode in the past, but like one of those stories where they got like two or three different writers and they like independently wrote this. They got an idea for
different
the episode.
Chunks of it.
But they wrote different chunks of it and then just kind of taped them together or something, gloppled them together. Like dicoronium, which can only be created in labs.
Dicoronium.
Another aspect to it might be is you could see let's say you transpose this story to one of the other contemporary.
To what? The key of D?
Well, I was referring to it more in terms of like putting it on Gunsmoke or something like that. Like a different contemporary TV show.
Oh, you mean map it? You want to map it to something else?
Game of Thrones.
I want to transpose it.
I would say you'd want to map it to something else.
You could say all sorts of things. I would say transpose it.
I would say map.
This plot into another show. It might work better in the sense, because I think part of the issue here is that we sort of don't buy Kirk as. Short of being infected by some alien malevolence or something, we don't buy him as somebody who's going to be doing like stupid shit.
Right. And that's sort of,
it's the power of Shatner and of the previous characterization of the Kirk character. And if they, doesn't make sense.
Maybe if they used a different character, they could have followed that obsession line.
If it was and this is where, and this
like
is what
McCoy.
They did. Well, no, I think what they did is they
McCoy
did
gets him in his short sleeve shirts. He's always wearing some short sleeve shirt with his sexy hairy forearms.
I know, right?
In TNG, you see this with a couple of, you know, you see a couple of the rogue captains or rogue admirals, you know, like Riker's old captain with the Pegasus.
Jellicoe.
It's pronounced Pegasus.
Yeah, not Jellicoe, the other guy. There's O'Brien.
Pegasus.
There's O'Brien. You know that's not
Yeah, shit. The O'Brien guy.
The O'Brien guy who was in Shawshank Redemption. But the point is that
Chief O'Brien.
In TNG, they get the new captain, the outsider captain. And that's the person who's the obsessive person. And then you don't know yet, are they good? Are they bad? Are they crazy? What's going on?
A thing with an odor like that.
An odor. Odor eaters.
What about this Rizzo character? Actually, Rizzo.
Is that one of the ones who dies?
Yeah. Dies. Check this out.
Rizzo.
Rizzo's alive.
Ensign Rizzo.
Ensign Rizzo.
You knew Rizzo?
Rizzo. Rizzo.
Rizzo.
First, I thought they were saying Rizzo, but then Uhura said Rizzo, and then I realized they were all saying Rizzo, but Uhura pronounced it most Rizzo-y. Everyone else was like Rizzo. Yeah. Rizzo.
That's the dude they like all like made him more conscious, so like
but
Kirk could like interrogate him. He's like, hey, Rizzo.
Yeah, he wanted to. Yeah, right. And he brought him back.
This
and
is the captain.
And Nurse Chapel was all like, man, don't do that.
Everybody's like, no, don't do it.
Don't
he's
do
like,
that.
Rizzo, this is the captain.
And we got a lot of Nurse Chapel in this episode. We already mentioned the whole trick in the guy, but I just liked a lot of characterization of Nurse Chapel.
Gene Roddenberry married Majel Barrett in 1969.
Mm-hmm.
That was at the end of after the show. Not after Star Trek.
Well, the last season aired in 69, so maybe they got married during
after this episode.
After this episode.
Yeah, this episode was December 15th, 1967 was when it aired, right? Yeah.
Thank pitchforks and pointed ears. Incapacitated.
I'm sorry.
That's so loud.
Unfit. Unfit. Incapacitated. Incapacitated.
I like it when Chekhov is like using the weapons and he like fires the phasers and he all makes a face and he like and he like pushes the buttons and
he
then
totally
and, like,
crunches
the photon torpedoes and he's all like makes a face and he's like
super crunchy Chekhov. All right. Any other odds and ends? What else do we have to say about this episode? I think
Garavik calls this thing a monster.
The Garavik. I wish there was more to talk about Garavik other than him being handsome and young coincidentally the son of Captain Kirk's previous
handsome,
captain.
Handsome, young, and
gaseous cloud.
And a gaseous. And a gaseous.
Gaseous cloud. Gaseous cloud.
It's interesting because he's a red shirt who doesn't die at the end. I don't think we see him ever again. Kirk has that whole thing where he's like, we can tell some tall.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Tall
tales. Yeah, we can tell some tall. I can tell you some tall tales about
your dad. Well, he's basically saying like, you
tall stories. I think you'd like to hear.
You didn't know about, like your dad died 11 years ago. I know shit about
your
dad.
Was quite a rascal
that you don't know.
Yeah,
so I'm not going to tell you
just,
war stories.
It was just
about
a weird.
Dad.
I thought using tall stories was a weird way to put it because you usually think of like.
Yeah, that's right. Is that Jesse doing something?
I'm not doing shit.
Oh, shit.
What are you doing, Dan? What the fuck was that? What's wrong with you?
That was okay.
You're going to get us all in trouble. People don't like this.
No.
They're like, oh, it hurts my ears. It hurts my ears. All right.
What that was... okay, so the sick bay, you know how the
No, you still haven't explained what all those sounds are.
I'm trying to!
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to!
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Close the mouth, open the ears.
You can't
close the mouth,
open
the
ears.
Open
your ears. That's not a thing you can do.
Alert your cilia. Cilia, whatever.
Cilia.
This is gross.
Alert your cilia.
Okay, let me explain what happened here. Okay, so you know how the sick bay, you may not know this, but if next time you watch a scene with the sick bay in TOS, notice that it goes like burp, 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 like a pulse or whatever.
Yeah,
burp. And it gives, but it does, it's not a normal like beep, beep. It's like this like Atari, like burp, yeah, burp. And I that sounds to me like the game Asteroids. So I was trying to find a clip of Asteroids where it's just the background noise, but I looked on YouTube and all I could find is one where people are blasting asteroids, and I just want one where it's
blasting
just,
asteroids.
I just want
blasting.
I just want one where it's just the background noise, and I couldn't find it. This is the closest I could get. Wait.
Yeah, it sounds cool.
Wait, it's coming.
I'm digging
it. I don't like this.
Hold on.
This is upsetting.
Yep. You heard that one bip,
yep.
Right?
Boop.
Yeah, but then it starts blasting, and my point. So I was never, never meant to bring that up in this episode, but I didn't close the window. So now that it came into the episode, I was forced to explain it.
I like it when they determine that the round trip is going to take 1.7 days, but he tells the other
1.21 gigawatts. You know,
he tells the other
back to the future. Back to the future. 1.21 gigawatts.
I knew you were going to do that.
But he tells the other references,
unrelated.
That it's going to be 48 hours, and it's one of those things.
That's
where
a movie too,
where you tell people. You tell the Starfleet people it's going to be take longer, and then you do it.
You overestimate
in a shorter amount of time, so you look cool.
Yeah, they did it the opposite.
The Enterprise is all going to show up like in like 1.7 days, and everybody's going to be like, "Oh, they did it!"
Yeah, right. That's like when Scotty would always be like, "I can't push it any further,"
exactly.
But he can.
Yeah.
But the opposite happened because in this episode, Chekhov was like, "We'll make contact in 5 seconds," and this was right before the smoke beast went inside the ventilators.
Well, Chekhov tells it like it is.
Well, no, because it would actually took around 10 seconds.
Oh, really?
When I counted it, when I timed it, it was around 10 seconds.
Well, it was like five TV seconds.
And if only they didn't have ventilation control in every room. Well, not ventilation. You want ventilation control, but you don't want to be able to let just anyone turn off the filtration system.
I don't think you need to give the ensigns the ventilation.
Why?
Control.
Well, I mean, you might want to control
senior officers.
No, you might want to control.
Why did this ensign get his own hole?
Even he's got his own hole. No, those cavernous quarters.
You want to give people control over how much
be in the hallway. Like
you want to give
deckers.
You want to give people control over how much air enters their
upper deckers.
How much air enters their room, right? But you don't want to tell them, oh, you can turn the filtration system off. Like, why would you give anyone that power? Because in this case, all it did was allow the smoke zapper to come in through the fucking grates.
I think if anybody comes up to you and starts talking about the filtration system, you can just have license to start kicking their ass.
Showing ass. Just showing some Vulcans showing ass.
That's what they call it.
Look
it up, man.
All right. Other points. Other points. Have we exhausted all our points about this particular episode?
I'm exhausted. Yes.
Obsession. Star Trek season, original series, season 2, episode 13.
13.
These kids are going to love it.
Talking something about AID cleanup and something about Disruptor B.
This is one of those episodes. We don't have any alien boobies in this episode. We just have one goddamn handsome ensign. He's a man, but that's okay because it's the 60s.
When Scotty says...
We're okay with it
now. Everything's perfect.
When Scotty says the ship's going to explode if they continue at their speed,
yeah.
Why? Why was their ship
going
to explode?
It was going like warp 8 or
it was
something.
No, it was going warp 5 because...
It was going warp 8.
No, it wasn't because
they had to back it off.
No,
to 6.
Because
he said warp 8.
No, because Kirk said go to warp 6, and that
yeah,
was
were,
more.
No, they were backing
no.
off.
Kirk, the whole point of that scene was Kirk was agreeing finally. He was, yes, he was.
No,
he was relenting to Scotty's command and reducing speed.
No, the point of that scene was to say. Chekhov was like, we're going to blow up. And Kirk was like, fuck that. We're going to go faster.
No.
It was to show how obsessed Kirk was.
Unfortunately, Jesse and I are in the very uncomfortable position of stating that you are completely wrong. misinterpreted that scene.
No, see, let me just explain. Let me just hear me out.
You needn't explain.
No, hear me out.
It's easy to understand where the misapprehension occurred.
No, I just want you to let me explain my position. Okay?
I understand.
Okay, my position is that they were going warp 5, uh-huh. And then Chekhov was like, the ship's going to explode if we continue at warp 5. And Kirk, instead of slowing down, he was like, we're going warp 6, baby.
Yeah. Okay. And see,
I never heard anybody say warp 5.
So here's the issue. The issue is that you're just simply wrong because they state explicitly that they were going at warp 8. And Scotty's like, if we keep doing this, it's a problem. And everyone looks around at each other, and then Kirk looks at Spock.
Because that was a big deal for them.
And that was right after Kirk and right after Spock and McCoy had confronted Kirk about him being obsessed and risking people's lives. And then Kirk kind of looked in and was like, all right, I can't be an asshole. I gotta agree. So he was like, all right, we can cut back to warp six, which is also why they subsequently lost track of the cloud creature after that until it came in.
I can't help that you're wrong about this one,
but I am correct.
No, I'm correct.
Yeah. All right. The audience happens to know the deal.
They were going warp five.
No. All right.
They've never gone warp eight. Okay. What are you talking about?
They frequently got, first of all, yes, they have.
They've like time traveled.
Now,
just,
now Dan's getting into fucking around mode because he knows for goddamn sure they've gone warp eight.
No.
They've gone warp nine, motherfucker.
No, they haven't.
Yeah. How do you think they slingshot around the sun?
I bet you they could go warp nine longer in that movie than they could have gone warp five in this movie show.
Look, shit rattles apart sometimes, you know? What are you going to do? The ship goes at the speed of the plot, as they say. All right, so...
Did you notice how Spock threw Garavik out of the room when the smoke monster came in? Yeah. And Spock was like, get the fuck out of here!
And Garavik always like, should I go back in or not? Oh no, the door's closed, oh no!
Oh no!
Oh no, I'm safe now, oh no! all right, I think that will conclude... our discussion of...
Well done, fellas.
Rizzo.
Rizzo's alive.
There's another one in the books.
Ensign Rizzo.
You knew Rizzo?
It qualifies as a podcast.
One more podcast.
We recorded it onto digital tape and published it...
Rizzo's alive.
...on the internet.
Suck on that.
You knew Rizzo?
Rizzo. So it's a podcast. All right. For those who are interested, please... Jesus, what the fuck are you playing?
Bernard Herrmann, man, chill out.
Rizzo.
Rizzo's alive.
Ensign Rizzo.
You're not just playing
Rizzo. You knew Rizzo? Rizzo.
Why are you playing Rizzo. This again? Lolita. all right. Yes, we must end this podcast. We're working
yes,
on
sir.
That.
Getting to the end.
We're in the process of doing that.
Incapacitated.
Be sure to listen to the end because you never know. We might announce something crazy.
Yeah.
Probably or not.
There could be some
but we might.
Stuff at the end.
Like well, they know. Like they won't know. And then we always put like a little funny clip at the end and they won't know what the funny clip is unless they listen to the end. All right. Social media. It's got Star Trek on Twitter, Instagram, Mastodon, YouTube, Facebook. I think that's most of the things we do, right? Follow us on social media. Website is www.itsgotstartrek.com. Email is feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
Did he say three W's or four W's?
I said three W's.
W-W-W.
They should short W to dub. Just dub.
They should say wubble you.
In Spanish, it's like doble V.
Doble V.
In German, it's double V. Sort of.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, they are two romantic languages.
Well, not
German is not a romantic
language. I was just kidding. But they did. They were going warp five.
I mean, lowercase R romantic language. It is not a capital R.
Yeah, I was.
It's not a romance language.
I was just kidding.
Romantic.
I was not kidding about the warp five thing. They were going warp five.
They were going warp five.
They were all a bones.
They were going to the warp eight, and then you see that the Captain Kirk got. He said, "Oh no, they will think I'm crazy if I destroy all the people." So Captain Kirk said, okay, we can go down to warp six.
I believe we have enough of that.
All right, yes, that's a fair point. All right, so we hope we've provided you with enough reasons to give us a one-star review this week.
Let us know if we're talking over each other too much, because I really want to know.
Please email Dan directly. Put it in the subject line if you want to send Dan a message.
I want to know.
I don't.
I want to know if we've been talking over each other too much. That's what I want to know.
I don't.
Or I don't just the know. Right amount.
Why don't you want to know that?
I couldn't care less. It's good that you care. Somebody should care. We should take turns caring about different
things. The problem is if I'm the only one who cares, then none of you guys are going to like play along if you don't care, you're not going to do it.
You could convince us.
You'd have to convince us to care.
That's what I've been trying.
Use the powers of convincing.
That's what I've been trying to do, but then you keep talking over me and I never get around to being able to.
So we'll have to work out some sort of compromise. I suggested the thumbs up thing.
The saga continues.
Yeah. We'll figure it out in the off time. Next week, we're going to have a very, very, it's going to be just, we're going to hold up a sign, a timer. Mm. We will each get 15 seconds. And we'll just rotate through. I actually might enjoy trying that, honestly. quite sincerely. All right. I think that'll do it for us this week, but we look forward to talking
Sabotage.
To you
this week.
Talking to you next week.
Next week.
And follow us on all those social medias at It's Got Star Trek in order to see what episode we will be discussing next week, because we will be taking this episode.
Because nobody fucking knows yet.
We don't know. We'll be putting this episode, putting it into Dan's orelating. Orelating transmogrification.
Algorithm.
And we'll be doing that, and it'll spit out an episode of some sort. So we will let you know on social media and on the website. So until then, we wish you all the best. Have a good one. Goodbye.
Captain. Thank heaven.
Mr. Scott, there was no deity involved. It was my cross-circuiting to be that recovered them.
Well then, thank pitchforks and pointed ears.